Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, sharing the podcast. Very important topic today, religious freedom and all the craziness that's happening around the country. We're going to catch up with Brad Dacus. He's the president of Pacific Justice Institute. It is PJI.org. They're a nonprofit based in Southern California. Across the country, they have offices, and they defend the religious freedoms, parental rights, and other civil liberties of people who cannot defend themselves. We're excited to catch up with him again. By the way, we did a previous podcast with him. It was last year. If you want to look that one up and get more information on some cases they were working on then, hey, there it is. Our guys are quick. Man, Jeff, way to go. Brad Dacus, good to see you, brother. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you, David. It's always a pleasure.
So first off, you had a wonderful event recently. I mean, in the last several weeks, Eric Trump came out and spoke. And was it a fundraiser? What did, you know, just tell us about that.
Yeah, it was our big celebration of justice. And yeah, and it was a fundraiser, but it was so much more than that. We had some great testimonies from people that shared how Pacific Justice represented them without charge. One thing that makes us so unique, as you know, David, is first off, was that we have offices all across the country, from Miami to Boston to Seattle to everywhere. But also, we work hard to make sure that everyone gets help. Our goal is to make sure that no one is left on the side of the road. We have big cases that go to Supreme Court, but we're unique and we don't just focus on the big game. We really want to make sure that everyone gets help. And so we talk, this is a celebration of the progress we've made, the people we've helped, and the vision that we have moving forward to be in ideally every state, not just the majority of states across the country to have an impact. So it was a great event. But make no mistake, Eric Trump was fantastic. He got beside the podium, didn't speak behind the podium. He got sort of beside the podium and he didn't have a script. And he just got up there for a half an hour and just gave the story of what he's been through, what his family's been through. It was very eye-opening and inspirational, and we're looking forward to having our gala next year. We're still working on who our speaker's going to be, but Eric Trump did a great job.
Fantastic. So, Brad, we were connected. I used to live in Southern California, and I was, I talked to you a little bit over the phone back then. We've done several interviews together, but about 10 years ago, we had a case right here in Northeast Wisconsin, and I believe it was Kevin Snyder that worked with us on that one, and it was a non-discrimination ordinance. It had to do with the transgender issue and all that for the city of De Pere, Wisconsin, and thanks to PJI, we won, and so that was not passed, and I know that was a very successful case. Tell us about some of the other cases. I know you've got one in New Jersey, Washington, and how you assign attorneys or offices to cases. How does that all work?
Yeah, well, we've got offices all across the country. So like New Jersey, for example, you know, this was outrageous. Here, the attorney general has decided to order all public school teachers, to affirm pronouns, even if it violates their conscience and religious convictions. And frankly, I can't see how any teacher with just any conscience for humanity should be forced to encourage any confusion, much less confusion that statistically increases the risk of suicide substantially. So, and not only that, but the teachers were also ordered by the attorney general that they have to be willing to cover it up, lie, don't let parents know about this grooming that they're secretly doing behind the scenes. This is evil. And our attorney, Karen White, she's out of the Trenton, New Jersey office. She's an incredible, experienced litigator. She filed this lawsuit against the attorney general, and we intend to take this toe-to-toe as far as we need to go to bat for not only the teachers, but also the peace of mind of parents who still have their children in government public schools.
Isn't this criminal when you've got the government, basically the public schools, going behind parents' backs and the parents don't have the rights to their own kids?
Yeah, it really is. And there was a case out of Maryland, dealing with school district Taylor versus Mahomet. And it was a very important case. Supreme Court held that parents have a right to receive notice and a right to opt out their children of things that violate their beliefs or convictions. So I think, governments like New Jersey and others that go down this road to continue to violate the rights of parents, they're really on a losing cause, because when we believe as these cases make their way to the Supreme Court, and they will make their way to the Supreme Court, we're going to see the Supreme Court strike these down and be decisive victories for parents' rights across the country. That's our game plan, and we're working hard to make sure that's accomplished one way or the other.
Okay, so for the newer viewers and listeners we have on Worldview Matters, since the last time you were with us last year, Brad, what makes Pacific Justice Institute unique?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we defend religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, sanctity of human life, all without charge. But what makes us really unique is that we don't just have one office in Phoenix or one office in Dallas. We have 36 offices coast to coast. And my goal is for there to be no place, no school board, anywhere where Satan can go for a vacation, no city council meeting, whatever, that we have the ability to go to toe-to-toe, have send our attorneys to testify in state legislatures, and we've been doing this very, very effectively. So it's a that's very different. And then also we is the fact that, once I mentioned, we work hard to make sure that everyone gets help. We don't just cherry pick a few high profile cases that are going to look good in a newsletter. Our goal is, with a heart of service, to make sure everyone gets help. And that's why last year, right now we have about 170 cases in active litigation. We also just had a big victory that has not been released yet. But people who want to keep up with our big victories, including the one that just we just found out about this morning, can do so by signing up to get our Legal Insider. It's a free e-newsletter called the Legal Insider at our website, pji.org. But our goal is to make sure that everyone gets help, that no one's left on the side of the road. So if anyone needs assistance, they may have been turned down by some other group or firm, they should not hesitate to contact us. In fact, we led the nation with more cases than the EEOC when it
Wow.
came to Title VII claims involving people with religious objections to the very, very controversial COVID vax. We've led the nation in these victories all across the country. And I believe it's our work, by God's grace, that has sent a loud message to employers and government agencies. If we have another pandemic, don't even think about engaging in that tyranny again, or you're going to pay for it. And the case, I can't announce it, but if people sign up, they'll get the press release on it. But it was a big victory this morning of a involving a company that everyone's heard of, clearly. So we're making lots and lots of progress. David, last year we had a better than a 90% success rate in our litigation that was resolved. This year it's going to be even definitely higher than that.
Wow.
And this morning's victory is an example of it. I'm really excited about it.
Praise God, Brad. I want to mention AB 495 and just get an update from you on that for friends that are not in Southern California that don't keep up with all that. Now, it was introduced as a quote, Family Preparedness Plan Act of 2025 by its authors. But from what I read and understood, the bill would broadly pave the way for any adult to take custody and make medical decisions for a minor with or without the knowledge of a parent by signing a single document. What else can you tell us about that? And I believe it passed. And what's the latest on AB 495 in California right now?
Yeah, great questions. First off, this legislation was doing the opposite of what it said it would do. Sort of like
Exactly.
George Orwell's 1984, where everything means the opposite of what they say. Like the Inflation Protection Act was the opposite. It created inflation and government spending. So anyway, but so that's what this was. It was, to protect parents' rights who are being deported. Well, what it actually was is it said any parent, any child can be taken by a stranger who simply goes to the school, prints out an affidavit on their own, not signed by a judge, and gives it to the school and says, "Yeah, I'm a mentor to this child, and the parents aren't available. So, give me the get little Susie here." No Background check was required. The ID of the person is not required. The address where the person lives is not required. Any stranger could come in and lie and take any child at any time, anywhere in a public school in California. That was the original version. Now, we've weighed in on this heavily at Pacific Justice Institute. We sent a very detailed legal objection letter to it. I testified at the rally and there at the state capitol. We weighed in on it heavily. And it was finally resolved in the end so that it's not perfect, but it says school districts, they have the freedom, therefore they have the responsibility from a legal perspective to check the ID of the person, where the person is living, to contact the parents, do a background check to validate that the parents were put in prison or deported or no longer available. That the parents have the right to say yay or nay on this person who is getting custody in this emergency situation. So it's a big game changer. The person still can technically be a stranger if it's lying, but school districts have the ability to hold them in check. And we at Pacific Justice have come out with a model policy for every school district to adopt to make sure these protections are in place. So it was a stopgap. We took care of almost all of the issues. And as long as the school district acts responsible, children will be protected. We even have opt-out forms customized for all 50 states. But the one in particular for California, these are very powerful opt-out forms, more powerful than ever because of the recent Supreme Court decision on parents' rights to opt out. But the one in California, we also put in there for a state for parents to state exactly who should be contacted in case of emergency for temporary custody of the children. So we've got it taken care of. School districts, we think, are going to be very responsible because if they're not and they let the child go with some stranger, then they're going to be liable if they haven't engaged with protective measures. And we're going to sue them without a doubt if they are irresponsible. So
wow.
That's where we're at with this. It really wasn't needed. We already had legislation that allowed for kids in emergency situations to go with relatives and a little bit more in terms of court involvement. But anyway, so it's not as bad as it was going to be. But what Gavin Newsom was supporting originally was going to be a living nightmare for everybody in the state of California.
Yeah, we had Jack Hibbs on the podcast a few times. He was sharing his concerns about that. And I just appreciate bold pastors, bold men of God that were standing up against that in California and across the country. There were some other bills in other states. So let me understand this, Brad Dacus. As far as parents opting out, I know you can get on your website under resources for parental rights, or where else can they get opt-out forms?
Yeah, the best place is right on our website, pji.org. Every family in America who has children should have access and use, have kids in public schools should use this opt-out form. It's customized for not only federal law, but also the individual state laws. So if anyone says, here's a generic opt-out form for all 50 states, that's not good enough because there's things they're missing in the way of state law and state statutes. So we are very methodical, very detailed. It's all without charge. All without charge. I'm a lawyer, and I'm saying without charge. That's a miracle. I know
that is.
But also, we've got another really valuable resource. Every family with children in America should have this, and that's 12 steps to protect your child from CPS or social workers. Every family needs to have this on hand. If they wait for the social worker to call them or knock on their door, it's too late because the article talks about how you need to respond to the social worker when they make that initial inquiry. And right now, we have had dealt with cases where kids are being taken from families, Christian families, simply because the parents are not willing to affirm or encourage gender confusion and gender distortion of their children's bodies. That's why parents are losing children, especially in blue states in particular, but also in red states and in blue cities. So this is a valuable tool. It's so valuable. We project that if parents follow it, we project easily 98% will not lose their child if they follow what we tell them to do. If they don't, you know, all it's very, very, very risky to lose their children wrongfully.
Wow. This is just really amazing that this is where we're at, but we're thankful for PJI. We're going to take a brief pause. I've got some exciting news. We're going to be talking more about this in the coming months, but we'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kah, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Friends, we'll have more information coming up as far as registration once the website is up and ready, but it's less than 6 months away. We're excited about the conference next May in Green Bay, Wisconsin at the Delta Hotel. But I want to thank you if you've been giving monthly. I just want to thank some friends. It's fundraising season. We've entered our third year of producing Worldview Matters. Praise God. And we're amazed at how it's taken off. Again, Jesus is exalted, and you guys are making a difference. So to continue speaking the truth and exposing evil, we depend on the faithful prayers and generous support of our audience. So right now, we're running a campaign for the third time, and for supporters to consider a tax-deductible gift of, let's just say, $200, or a monthly gift of $25. You can be a supporter on an ongoing monthly basis. So as a small token of our gratitude, we've got brand new stainless steel tumblers with Worldview Matters on one side and Keep Speaking the Truth About Things That Matter. That's my tagline. On the other side, visit worldviewmatters.tv. And thanks for your prayers overall that you do. Thank you for praying for us. So before I get back to Brad Dacus and Pacific Justice Institute, I want to thank some friends who have been giving. Randall and Faye from Green Bay, Brian from North Carolina, Stephen from South Carolina, Justin from New Mexico, Shelley from Madison, Wisconsin, Nathan from Green Bay, Wendy from Utica, Michigan, Doug from Neenah, Wisconsin, Bud from Fairborn, Ohio, Pamela, Traverse City, Michigan, Michael from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Belinda from Winterville, North Carolina. God bless you guys. You keep us going. As Brad knows about that, so that's a nice transition into my next question. You do cases for free, which is almost unheard of. And how, other than you just had a gala, a fundraiser, how else? I know you get donations. How else do you get funded, Brad?
Yeah, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas that do what you were just describing, to support us on a monthly basis or one-time basis, tax-deductible donation. That's the bulk of it right there. Now, we get some wins on some cases that are helpful, but the overall majority of it, since we do all our work without charge, and over 90% of our cases we get resolved without litigation, it comes from moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and some churches also that are growingly, increasingly adding us to their support base as they see the fruits of our work for furthering God's kingdom. But I also just want to say, David, personally, and you didn't ask me to say this, but what you're doing is so valuable. Getting out truth is something we cannot count on the world today to do for us. We have to make it an initiative to listen to podcasts like yours. And I just want to strongly encourage Thank people you. To get behind and support what you're doing. Also, I want to let you know, I think you said Green Bay, Wisconsin, we have an office, a very strong, powerful office there in Wisconsin, serving the people there along with places all across the country. And we love to serve you and your audience in any way we can, always without charge.
Thank you, Brad. Really, really appreciate it very much. And the biblical worldview and biblical literacy is declining, even in the church in America. And we're just confronted with such a dark time, but we've got to fight and continue to speak the truth, regardless of the consequences. And so that's why we're trying to encourage, equip, because a lot of pastors across the country aren't doing a great job of equipping, but that's where the rest of us come in. So Brad, you mentioned you're in Phoenix, you've got an office in Phoenix, and you work with Turning Point USA. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, you bet. So Turning Point USA, about 3 years ago, I attended a special gathering they had, and I took the assistant aside from Charlie Kirk, Jake, and talked to him. And I said, Jake, let me tell you how I think we can help you guys at Turning Point, how Pacific Justice can assist you in multiple ways, both in terms of legal, media, promotion, counsel, et cetera. And one of the things that we promised was that we will represent every single one of their chapters without charge. If they get any pushback anywhere, whether it's a public high school or a university college, they can come to us, and we've got the bandwidth. We've got the footprint across the country to do exactly that. So we're representing them without charge. And at the big event they're having in December, this will be our third year, where they will put up a big free commercial to the 20,000 students there, letting them know about Pacific Justice Institute, how they can call us, how we've got their back. And I'm also doing a big breakout session where I get to share the gospel at the end of it on students' rights and in challenging institutions and, schools. So it's going to be a fantastic event. We also have a media booth, another promotional booth, and we have just a wonderful, very tight partnership with Turning Point USA. Well, now since Charlie Kirk's passing, they've been flooded. As you know, David, they've been flooded with people, students saying, for such a time as this, count me in, count me in. Yep. I want to start a chapter.
Yep.
Many times more than what they have now.
Yeah.
We affirmed recently, we said, look, we are still committed. We will still defend every single one of these new chapters, wherever they are. We've got the attorneys. Our attorneys are all hands on deck as awesome. We speak to go to bat for them. And it's a real joy and pleasure to help push up, as we do with such joy, ministries like Turning Point USA.
Man, the college campus is one environment where you can see the spiritual warfare at work. I mean, it's almost in your face, obvious, and not just what happened to Charlie Kirk, but just the intolerance of the biblical worldview of free speech. And so I'm so glad that there's more chapters, and it's just off the charts, the growth. But anyway, let's get back to one more question I had to ask. You said, before we got on the podcast, you mentioned a Washington case involving a transgender. Can you tell us about that one?
Oh, you bet. It's a really interesting situation where it's a woman's Korean spa, or Korean woman's spa, where it's only women are allowed. And it's because the Korean spa, they don't wear any clothes. That's just the culture. That's the way it is. And it's run by Korean Christians, committed Christians. Well, they're informed and told that they have to, whether they like it or not, they have to allow this man, a biological man with biological parts, to go into there and be naked in front of the women and look at the naked women and their naked teenage daughters. I'm being very specific because we need to, I don't want to skirt what we're dealing with here.
Thank you. It's sick.
It's evil. It's perverted. And so we at Pacific Justice, so the state of Washington, their Human Rights Commission, this is once again going back to George Orwell's 1984, where it means the opposite. The Human Rights Commission has ordered them to be shut down because they refused to allow this man to be naked in front of naked women and naked girls. It's a sick, evil government in the state of Washington, the legislatures, the courts. So we have filed a lawsuit. We did not prevail in the lower court, surprisingly, but we're taking it up on appeal, and we're going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary. It's a great case, though, from a legal perspective, the extent to which business owners should have to grotesquely violate their conscience and beliefs for something like this. And I'm looking forward to hopefully getting this case to the Supreme Court.
So before we run out of time, there's a very important tab on your website labeled Church Initiatives. And you click on that, and you guys, we're beating the same drum, Brad Dacus, trying to equip the church to engage in the culture, civic stewardship, and vote with biblical values. Oh, my goodness. We dropped the ball on this 100 years ago or 50 years ago, but now we are here for such a time as this. Tell us about that initiative.
You bet. So we have our litigation division, our legislative division, and then we have our church engagement division, a whole other division where we, this last election, election before last, we had over almost 900 churches to do voter registration Sundays. Voter registration Sunday, most of them for the first time ever. The election before that, it was 512. The election before that was 321. So you see this, there's this upward trend. And we are here to equip every church there in Wisconsin, wherever it is, with all the specifics on how they can have their voice heard, how they can register their voters, but even more than that, their freedoms and liberties, particularly dealing with some of the new legal breakthroughs with regard to the IRS on how they can express their opinion, even behind the pulpit, with regards to candidates, issues, initiatives, legislation. It's a great time we live in, but pastors need to be equipped with what to do and be assured of that we at PGI are here to cover their backs and represent them without charge all the way with all our offices across the country, and we're able to do it. And it's a great time, and we love to empower and equip every way we can, churches and the like.
So it says on that page, in 2021, PGI launched the Pastor Liaison Program. So important that pastors know they have somewhere to go if they run into a lawsuit or intolerance of their faith. And so this is very important, friends. Brad, we've got a minute and a half. Just the state of America, we've changed so much over the decades, and it's gotten darker, but Christians are the light, or at least we're supposed to be, the light of the world, the light of culture, salt and light. Share what's on your heart and whatever you'd like to in the last minute or so.
Thank you. Without question, we have seen the darkest of the darkest in our nation's history in recently, particularly during the last administration, the emboldenment of evil, the oppression of Christians, silencing of Christians. It was very dark just a year ago. And yet things are turning around dramatically, not just in terms of policy, legislation, and wonderful court decisions that I could only have dreamt of a number of years ago, but also a spiritual revival that's taking place.
Yes.
And we're seeing it. It's indisputable. People don't realize this, but the baby boom generation, my generation, we go to church less than millennials. Millennials go to church less than Gen Zs. Gen Zs, 18, 24-year-olds, are attending church more than their parents. This is unheard of.
Yeah.
This is historic. And we're seeing it particularly among young men are coming to Christ. They're becoming followers of Christ. And we at PGI are delighted that we are equipped by God's grace to defend them, to empower them, to take the next hill for the kingdom, and to be able to share their faith and live their faith with the love of Christ. So it's an exciting time, and we look forward to equipping churches and ministries across the country without charge.
Praise God. Brad Dacus, we're so thankful for Pacific Justice Institute and your time today and fighting this battle together, brother. Lord willing, we'll do this again. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you, friends, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.